Very excited right now to be talking to Jason Everett, who will be coming to the Archdiocese of Annapolis to the Batesville Deanery this upcoming February during the first full week of Lent, the Wednesday after Ash Wednesday, February 21st. Jason, how are you?
Doing good. At yourself, Father.
I am unbelievably blessed and very excited that you're taking the time to come to our diocese and to speak to our young people. You've been doing this for quite some time, haven't you, brother?
Yeah, 26 years now, full time.
I remember I was a newly ordained priest in 2003, and you came to our diocese, and that was the first time I ever heard you speak, first time that I met you, and we have met many times over the past few years.
Yeah, most recently I got communion for me at World Youth Day, just out of the blue, came up and you just happened to be the priest there, so it's good to
It
see you.
was absolutely fantastic. There was nothing between you and me but Jesus, and
Yep.
that's a great thing to have in between us. So just tell us a little bit about the your ministry and why you've committed 26 years of your life to doing what you're doing.
I mean, it's kind of simple. I mean, our Lord said, "Blessed are the pure in heart; they're going to see God." And if you kind of flip that backwards, then if we're not pure in heart, we're going to have a real hard time seeing Him. Not just in the next life, but in this life, in our own faith, in our boyfriend, our girlfriend, and our families, even in ourselves. And so that purity of heart gives us greater clarity to have a relationship with God. And I started this back in college, kind of leading high school retreats, and the kids would open up to me about all the struggles they were going through. And I really realized, oh, they have no formation on this subject of chastity. Nobody's talking about it. And then I also did 3 years of sidewalk counseling where I was meeting women who were having an abortion within the next hour. And I just felt late. Like, why am I meeting her now? Like, why couldn't I have met her when she was 15? Because maybe if she learned about real love back then, she never would have dated the guy and been in this difficult situation today. So I realized instead of everybody addressing like kind of the supply of abortion, how come is nobody talking about the demand for it, which comes from unchastity? And so at the same time, I was discovering St. John Paul II's book, Love and Responsibility, and really started to see that as the antidote for so much of this hurt and confusion.
Yeah, so true and so needed and so thankful. And clearly when you come to the Batesville Deanery on February 21st, from my experience of working with you throughout the years, you've made some adaptions on your presentation. There always used to be the Jason Everett talk that has been just life-changing and impactful for so many, but now you've extended your content. There's now actually like a two-part talk. There is a chastity talk, but there's more material than just that. Can you maybe talk a little bit why the expansion and what the new content is about?
Yeah, so the first presentation is, as you said, on chastity. So we're going to be covering God's plan for human love. How far is too far? When should I start dating? What's the purpose of dating? Modesty, starting over, all that kind of stuff that's on teens' minds, and parents aren't quite sure sometimes how to communicate to their kids. That's more sexuality is something we do. But then the second part of the presentation, sexuality is something we are, male and female. We're going to dive into this whole topic of gender that's got so many people scratching their heads. And, because if you're like me, you've got friends, or if you're like me, actually have family members who identify as trans, and you're not quite sure how to navigate that. Like, okay, am I supposed to use their preferred pronouns? Am I supposed to not say their name? Because I heard if you don't, then they're going to commit suicide, and I wouldn't want to do that. Or what if I experience gender dysphoria? What does God think about me? And so we want to be able to tackle these tough topics with clarity, but at the same time, charity. And so how do we hold that balance? Kind of holding onto these people's hands with one hand, holding onto reality with the other hand, and not letting go of either hand. And so that presentation is going to take a very pastoral and loving approach to how we can present God's plan for what it means to be human for those who might wrestle with gender dysphoria, helping them to understand that there is room in the church for them to navigate through these difficult questions, and they're not a walking abomination to God because they struggle with their identity. But part of love is telling people the truth, because if you love somebody, you can't lie to them. And so how do we transmit the truth in a way that expresses the love of Christ? And so that's what we're going to try to do in the second part of the presentation, which is we got chastity, then a break, gender, then an opportunity for Eucharistic adoration, sacrament of reconciliation for the whole family. Because we don't just want mom and dad to just drop their kid off and I'll pick you up in 3 hours. Like, no. We want the parent to hear what the kid hears so we can open up that door, that conversation that needs to be happening. Because the parents are the primary sex educators, not me. Not the school, not the priest, not the governor. No, like it's the parents. But so many of them don't know where to start the conversation. So we want to break that ice and get that going.
Yeah, no, and I just want to thank you for the new addition and making the adjustments that you did, because I think, yeah, we have to be addressing what's real in our young people's life. And so how long has the talks adjusted? When did that adjustment happen?
Well, it's been a pretty continual thing in terms of like, okay, in the chastity talk, we need to start bringing this into it now. Now the kids are struggling with this. We've got to augment it that way. So it's kind of gradual tweaks. But just in the last couple of years, there's been this hockey stick acceleration of just the culture shift of male, female, other, non-binary, this, that. And it's like, and so the young people are wrestling for answers. I mean, the priests are, because it's like, hey, I didn't go to seminary to learn how to offer pastoral care to non-binary parishioners. Like, this was not on our radar. And now we've got these kids in the junior high. And what do we do? How do we handle this? And so just in the last couple of years, I've done a tremendous amount of research on this. I've read between 20 to 30,000 pages of research just on the gender subject, and I talked to countless young people and parents going through this, nurses that are actually working in the hospitals of these gender clinics that are just torn up of like the stuff that they're seeing, they're participating in, and they're like, I know this isn't right, but what do I do? And so trying to take that knowledge base that I've had and all the experience I've had talking to these young people and helping to give them the language to navigate through this difficult question.
Well, thank you for doing that. Thank you for being a voice, and thank you for coaching parents and coaching priests to help us to be able to speak about these topics in a very confusing time. So I just want to encourage all young people in the Batesville Deanery, all parishioners out there, even non-parishioners, if you're interested in these topics, just to come and hear these presentations. You can contact your parish office to get more information and speak to your religious education teachers, your DREs, whatever it might be, your youth minister. But let's have a great crowd to grow in purity, chastity, and just one last plug, Jason. If you were a parent out there asking the question, should I send my child? Should I make my child go? What would you say?
One mom and dad came up to me after a recent talk, and I said, yeah, the talk was great. They said, we invited our teen to come, but she really didn't want to come tonight, so we came. I'm thinking, like, wait a minute, you left it up to the teenager to decide if they want to sit next to their parents for a chastity talk on like a Saturday night? Like, I wouldn't even want to go to that. Like, I don't know why you left it up to them. And then meanwhile, another parent emailed me and she said, yeah, I brought my kid to your talk just kicking and screaming. But she said, you know what? My daughter has not stopped talking about it since. And we've had these amazing conversations. And so, yeah, don't leave it up to your kid. Hey, would you like to go to mom and dad to a chastity presentation? It's like, oh, we're going to this thing. It's not an option. This is not a discussion. It's not even a debate. This is a declaration. We're going. It's good news. You're going to have a good time. There's going to be tons of teens there. And you can thank me afterwards. Right now, you can kick and scream, but it's good news. This isn't some like guilt-ridden, finger-wagging, shaming approach. A lot of people heard that growing up. It's just about, all these rules so you don't go to hell. This is more learning to want heaven for the person that you love. And what does that look like? Because these people want to find love. They just don't know if they deserve it or how to find it. And so you as the parents are the allies, and they need to help understand, like, wow, my parent actually wants what's best for me. And this talk was convincing and this was encouraging. I actually, like Steve Jobs said, people don't know what they want until you show it to them. And so let's show them what chastity actually is. And believe me, they'll want it.
No, thank you. And that was absolutely fantastic. And I can just say from my own personal testimony as a priest, because I have been seeing Jason give these talks literally for 20 years of my priesthood. We have run into each other for 20 years. I will just tell you that bring your young person and God will work in their life that night. And that is my motto of youth ministry. It's parents that get kids in youth ministry. It's not, we have such a great time and the pizza is so wonderful that they just want to keep coming. Bring them there, make them available, and God will work in their life. Our best ability is availability, and we got to make our kids available to what is good and what is true. So, Jason, thank you so much for chatting with me today. And know of our prayers here in Batesville Deanery in the Archdiocese of Annapolis to prepare for you to come. And when you come, know that we'll be praying for you, that night will just be an ushering of grace into people's lives. So, thank you so much, Jason.
Well, thank you. And I would just ask the viewers to just please pray for the fruitfulness of the event. I mean, that matters more than anything.
Amen.
It's intercessory firepower going on. And so if parents want to learn more, we have a website, chastity.com, so they can learn about how to transmit this message even before February rolls around. Don't wait.
Amen. Visit them on chastity.com and get yourselves ready. God bless you all.